of them on it. It's working. I couldn't hear myself. Everybody happy this morning? Yeah. Always when you be in the house of the Lord, I thank him for all he's done for me in my life. But the Lord's Supper is for July the 12th now at 11 o'clock, so everybody needs to be here for that. And Deacon's meeting is July the 7th now, so they'll be there probably maybe five or six of us. Okay, then let's prepare your minds and heart for worship. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. My soul, I will praise the Lord, Lord of my life. I will sing praises to the Lord and all that I live. Psalms 146. All right, I have to say the prayer. I forget sometimes. Dear Lord, we thank you as we come into your house. It's always, Lord, when I come in, I see smiling faces, Lord. And I know, Lord, that you got your hand on them, Lord. So just keep your hand on them, Lord, and let them know that you're here for them, Lord. And, Lord, I ask you to be with Brother Dennis today, too, as he gives us the word that we can take it out in the world, Lord. But most of all, Lord, I'm so proud of what you've done for me in my life. And I praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. Before we get started, we want to sing a happy birthday to Miss Ellen, who is having a birthday this week.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Nothing like 84, she said. I'm glad I don't know that yet. All right, Psalms 102 says, come before his presence with singing. Are you ready to worship? All right, stand and sing.
Come to his presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give him praise, and give him praise. His presence with thanksgiving in your heart, your voice is raised, your voice is raised. Give glory and honor and power unto him. Jesus, the name above all names.
Good morning. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let me just read Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God is good. He is good all the time. And we are so thankful today that we are in the house of the Lord. And I know there's somebody in your heart this morning that you want to pray for. So I'm just going to ask you to lift up the name, please. Lord, we thank you so much for allowing us to come to your house to praise you, to exalt you, for you are worthy to be praised and adored. We are thankful, Father, for the blessing to be here today. Thank you, Lord, because you are good. You're good, and you've been good to us. And so we are thankful today. And, Father, we bring this prayer request to you, Father, the spoken and unspoken, Father. And we know, Father, that you hear our call, you hear our cry. And, Father, you also, Father, respond to our prayers. And so, Father, we ask for those who are sick, especially we ask for them, Father, you will restore them, Father. You will bring them back to come and worship with us here in your house. Father, we give you all honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just want to remind you, if you have a prayer request, or if you have a first time or second time you're here, please don't forget to put the care card in the offering plate. And also want to remind you that Vacation Bible School is coming, and we need volunteers. We need volunteers. And so there is, you can talk to Ms. Belinda, or you can sign up right here on the side of the doors here. We'd love to have you, and this is a great opportunity for us to reach our community. And so I encourage you to please, if you're thinking about it, make the decision and come and serve the Lord. I also want to say a big thank you to all of you. I don't know if you noticed the parking lot, the children's room has been painted, and they're still working out there in the parking lot. And I believe all of this is part of the revival that we're expecting from the Lord. I think we're getting ready, and as we say in the South, we're fixing to. Amen? So let's praise the Lord.
Miss Belinda, do you still need Pringles cans?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so as you're buying your potato chips for your 4th of July celebration next weekend, Pringles brand, not Lay's.
The long
cans. Pringles, big cans.
Long cans.
That's what you're going to buy for your 4th of July celebration. Then you're going to bring the empty cans to Miss Belinda.
Brother Dennis, could you and Rosie come up here, please? I'm not going to put them on the spot, and I hope I get this right. Miss Ellen had a birthday this week. Do y'all know what's coming up this week?
No.
No?
Anniversary.
June 30th, this Wednesday.
That is Tuesday.
Dennis and Rosie, and I don't want to keep out the family, but I know these two have been an integral part here at our church. June 30th will be 2 years, and we want to say thank you very much. I know it's been a lot of hard work. I know probably sometimes you're ready to throw in the towel, but we are extremely grateful for what y'all bring to this church, what you do, how you preach the word and the truth. And as a small token of our appreciation, we want to give you this and say thank you very much for what you do. And don't stop. Okay, keep on going. Because as you and your words, we're expecting great things. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Love you.
If you were not able to give anything, but you want to give something, feel free to give it to one of the deacons, and we'll make sure we get it, because we're not done yet, just so you know, anticipation. We got some other things that just haven't arrived yet. So, okay? We haven't arrived.
Thank you.
God is faithful.
Amen.
God is powerful.
Amen.
God is faithful. God is powerful, and God is still at work. Psalms 126:3 says, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." Let's give him our praise for the great things he has done and continues to do. Stand and sing with us. Worship is about offering God our hearts. As we sing, quiet your minds to all the distractions. Simply tell the Lord that He is our focus as we bring it back to the heart of worship. Thank you. Every one of us has a story of God's faithfulness. If you're still waiting on Him in an area of your life, don't lose hope. Jesus is still working, even when we can't see it. The song declares that Jesus does.
Every morning colors the sky with the shades of His glory, makes us with mercy and love. Jesus does. Who holds the orphan, comforts the widow, cries for injustice, feels every sorrow, carries the pain of His children. Jesus does.
So let's sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son. Praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was a sinner, He saved me from who I was. Cause that's what Jesus does.
Who understand the heart of the sinner, showers His grace over all our mistakes, washes us clean with His blood.
Jesus does.
Who sings the song of sweet forgiveness, who stole the keys of hell and the grave, who has the power to save. Jesus.
The Lord is good. All the time, God is good. Amen. It gives me great joy to see how the Lord is working in people's lives. You know, I get the privilege to see that, and I've been praying and asking the Lord to guide us, and you got to keep your eyes on the Lord, you know, at all times. The Lord has called us to follow Him, and that's really what we're doing. And so today we're going to be talking about the heart of worship, and we're going to be in Psalms 95, and I'm going to ask you to stand, and as we read together God's Word. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyful to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyful to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And in His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart, as in the rebellion, as in the day of the trial of the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation, and I said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We are so grateful, and thank you for all your blessings in our lives. And Father, thank you, Father. We pray, Lord, that we will see revival, that we will, in the midst of the chaos of the world, Father, you're still sitting on the throne. And Father, we pray that in our time, in our lifetime, that you will give us the honor and the privilege, Father, and that you will use us, that we will be useful vessels for your kingdom. And that, Father, that we will see, Father, hundreds, if not thousands of people, Father, come to the altar and give their lives to you, and praise you, and exalt you, for you are worthy to be praised and adored. You are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords, and it's only through you, O Lord, that we are saved, and Father, not through any other way, for you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through you. Father, thank you for giving us this great honor and privilege to be called the children of God. And so we are so thankful to be in your house today. We give you all honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen. Worship is not about musical instruments. It's not about the kind of clothes that we have, or that if you have a good voice or do not have a good voice. We need to be reminded that God has given us a vision for our church. And I'm so thankful to each one of you for participating. And we came out with this statement, and we to be a family of faith that glorifies God. We are a family of faith. We're bonded by our faith. And we're here to glorify the Lord. That's what we're here to do. We're not here to glorify ourselves, but we're here to glorify God. And so we are here to praise His name. As we read the Psalms, just in a general sense, the book of Psalms is also called the hymn book of Israel. It's a collection of songs and prayers and poetry. Robert Plummer, in his books, the Psalms, he talks about there are seven types, if not more, but he mentions seven, that there's different types of Psalms. There is the Psalm of Lament, He said one third of all the hymns that are of the 150 is people who are crying out to God in distress. There's the Psalms of praise. This is people praising God because He's the Creator. He's the Savior and He's also sovereign. There is the Psalm of thanksgiving, thanking God for answering the request. There's also the Psalm of celebration, the God's covenant relationship with the king and the nation. There's the Psalms of wisdom, and it says it deals with the topics of divine and divine source and wisdom. There's also the penitential, is the voice of the psalmist in repentance to God. He mentions Psalm 51, David repenting before God after he sinned against him. And there is the imprecatory. This imprecatory is a call that God will take care of the enemies. So God has given us these wonderful psalms, and it reflects many of the things that you and I go through. We all have times that we cry and we ask the Lord to help us. And He always comes through. Have you noticed that? God always comes through. You may not even remember what happened in January 1st last year. You know why? Because God took care of it. Because we're here to tell about it. Amen? So God has been faithful. We praise Him. We thank Him. We celebrate. We ask for wisdom. And when we look at this particular Psalm 95, it's interesting because most scholars divide this psalm in two parts. They divide the first part, 1 through 7, and then the rest of it is 7 through 11. It talks about, in 1:7, how people, God's people, are going towards the temple. And they're in a procession, and they're coming to the temple. Just like you and I come to church on Sunday. We come together, and we come to praise the Lord. That's what we're coming to do. So how should we come to church each time that we gather? How should we come to the Lord? Well, we should come to the Lord. And to, first of all, we need to come with a thankful heart. Verse 2, he said, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyful to Him with psalms. We need to be coming with a thankful heart. We need to look back at what happened throughout the week. And we see the goodness of God in everything that we've done. The Lord has been good to us. He has protected us on the roads. He has protected us here in the south from deer. He has protected us. He's watched over us. He has provided for us. We got food in the refrigerator. We got money so we can put gas on our vehicles. God has been good to us. So we need to come in a spirit of thankfulness. So when we come to the Lord, we're coming to thank the Lord for His goodness. We're coming together for His goodness. How many of you, God has been good to you this week? How many of you, God, you can shout and say, God has been good to me. He's been good to my family. He's been good to me. He's taken care of me. He has provided for me. Oh, so when you come through those doors, you come with a thankful heart. We don't come complaining about things that have happened because God is our God and He's been good to us. I'm going to start preaching, I think. Anybody here this morning? And I missed my Cuban coffee this morning. I apologize. But God has been good. They were coming in and they had a thankful heart. Are you thankful this morning? Or are you complaining about everything? Are you just complaining about things and the weather and the things are going in the country? Listen, our goodness comes from above. God is the one who takes care of His children. He is the one who's taking care of us. God has us. We are His children. And we need to be thankful to the Lord. God has been good. Each day he's taken care of us. But also, they were coming in and thanking God for their salvation. Verse 1, it says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyful to the rock of our salvation. He's the rock of our salvation. We will always, always be thankful. Maybe you don't have anything to be thankful about. But listen, you can always, if you're a child of God, if you have trusted Christ in your heart, you can always say, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Listen, death can come in a second. Oh, listen, death can come, oh, in the next moment. But listen, thank God that our names are written in the book of life. We don't have to worry about where we're going to spend eternity. God has already secured that for us. We need to be thankful. They were coming in and they were thankful for their salvation. Listen, those people in Venezuela, those who gave their life to Christ, they are thankful they're in the presence of God. It can come in a second. Some nut can run over the red light where you're going through and it's all over. We live in this place. And aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you've given your life to Jesus? Listen, if you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, give your life to the Lord. He's giving you every day that passes by that you don't give your life to Christ, he's giving you another chance and another chance. Can you imagine if you're here and you're listening now through Facebook and all the social media things, give your life to Jesus. Please give your life to Jesus. He's coming back. But listen, we may not see him come back. Give your life to the Lord. See, they were coming in and they were saying, they were shouting for joy for the rock of our salvation. Be thankful that you're saved. Be thankful that you're saved. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing to the Lord of our salvation. Psalm 27, 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? Whom should I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? He is the light, and he's also our salvation. But we also need to be grateful. We need to be grateful for who God is. In verse 3, he said, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyful to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods, little g's. And in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea in his is his, and he made it. And in his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We need to be grateful. We need to be grateful that we are called the children of God. We need to be grateful for who God is. You think about who God is. He created everything. He made everything, the mountains. Oh, he created the sea. He created the earth, the trees, everything. He created us. Listen, we need to be thankful. We need to be grateful. We need to be grateful for all the blessings that God has given us. We need to be grateful. Think about God. He's a holy God. We need to show reverence to God. We need to show reverence when we come together. We come to the house of the Lord. We're not coming to a club. We're coming to the house of God. This is what we're coming to do. We're not coming to talk about the weather. We're talking about God things when we come to the house of God. Amen? You can leave the other things outside. But when we come together, when they came to the house of God, it was all about God. It was about God's conversations. It was about God, what God had done. It was about the gratefulness of God. That's what they did. It wasn't about how many likes we had in Facebook or what people say. It was all about God. It's about God. This is what they did. It was all about God, and they were grateful. Are you grateful today Are you grateful today for God's goodness? So how does the Lord examine our hearts? How does the Lord examine our heart? The second part of this psalm talks about God's people. It talks about their heart. It talks about the things that they were doing. Of course, we all are familiar with the commercials. Capital One, what's on your wallet? You seen it? I'm asking you today, what's in your heart? What's in your heart today? Is God in your heart? Are you worrying about God? Are you worrying about meeting God? If you went home today, are you already ready to go home? Listen, there are people out there that say, I can't wait for Jesus to come back. Are you ready to meet Jesus? That's the question we need to be asking. Does my life reflect any holiness of God's presence? Because God is holy. So are we ready to meet God? First of all, true worship is a personal choice. If you look at the text in verse 7, it says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, as in the day of the trial of the wilderness, when they were talking about Israel being in the desert and they were rebellion. They rebel against God. They wanted to go back to the world. They want to go back to Egypt. Do you want to go back to the world? It says, when your fathers tested me, they tested the Lord. Are you testing the Lord? They tried me. You remember that when we were growing up, our parents said, don't try me. Are you trying God? Though they saw my work, they saw the work, and they were still trying God. And for 40 years, I was grieved. Can you imagine God being grieved because of us? God being grieved for his people, the people that he moved from slavery to freedom to bless them. And yet they grieved God. Have you looked at your life and said, am I grieving God? And they said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. Yes, we're here, but we're not here to praise God. We're not here to worship the King. We need to look at our lives and examine our lives. We cannot be hardened. So it's a personal choice to worship the Lord, to worship the King. It's up to me if I want to do it or don't want to do it. It's personal. God is saying, look at the generations before, but you don't have to be like them. Listen, remember Joshua, what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't know about you, but my house, we're going to serve the King. You remember? You probably have it in your house somewhere. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so there is Israel. And God is talking to them. And so what is worship? What is worship? The Old Testament uses the word shakal. It means literally to bow down. I think it's kind of defined here on verse 6. It says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. The New Testament has a different word, but it means to acknowledge God, the ultimate sovereignty. It is the active response of recognizing and declaring God's supreme value. It is not a Sunday church activity or singing songs. It is about lifestyle of total reverence and humble and obedience to God. Let me read the definition again. See, sometimes we think, oh, the worship was good, or maybe we criticize the way the songs were sang. The definition of worship has nothing to do with the songs or the instruments. It all has to do with our lifestyle. It has to do when we totally show reverence to God. It has to do when we humble ourselves and we submit our lives to God and we obey God. When you and I obey God, we are worshiping God. When we bring our tithe and offerings to God, we are worshiping God. The fact that you are in church today, you're obeying the Lord. You are worshiping God. And we worship the Lord. When we live holy lives, listen, we are worshiping the Lord. It is about our lifestyle. Matthew 15:8 says, and the people, Jesus said, the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me. Can you imagine Jesus saying that to us? Could you imagine Jesus saying to us, you're just giving lip service to me. I saved your soul. You have a new life in Christ. You're a child of God. And you're giving me lip service. That's what he told them. So what prevents us from true worship? What prevents us from true worship? Well, the first thing is disobedience. He gave the example of the previous generation. They disobeyed God. They didn't believe God. They didn't trust the Lord. They didn't live by faith. They disobeyed the Lord. They said, well, sometimes we think it's okay. Sometimes we think that it is okay to disobey God. Sometimes we think that people are excused for their disobedience. Whether you're lost or saved, you could be a disobedient child of God, or you could be a disobedient not child of God. But are they excused? The question is there an excuse for those who do not know God to be disobedient? Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. In other words, God reveals himself to every human soul, everyone. God speaking to people. People say, I'm an atheist. But listen, when they are in their sick bed and they're ready to die, guess what? Who they call? God, help me. You know why? Because God, the scripture says that God has revealed to them. And then he says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Well, he just didn't come to church. Let me remind you that God is everywhere. And he speaks to his creation every day. People may want to say whatever they want to say, but God says they have no excuse. It's all about God. It's not about what I say, not about what you say. It's what does God say. And God is speaking to them. But what prevents us from true worship? Disobedience. Are you in obedience to God? In Ezekiel, God dropped the plumb line. Where are you now? Are you doing what God has told you to do? Are you where God wants you to be? Sometimes we ask, Lord, where are your blessings? Where's the abundant life? And God said, won't you obey me? Sometimes all God wants is our obedience. The Lord says, I got you. I know what you're going through. But will you obey me, please? Will you obey me? So how do we know what's the Lord's will? It's right here. From Genesis to Revelation, God will speak to us. There's the second thing, rebellion. The psalmist says, thy generation were rebellious against me. Sometimes we just live in the terrible twos. We rebel against God. It's in us to rebel. We need to rebel. Sometimes we rebel against the Lord. Proverbs 27:17-11 says, for an evil man seeks only rebellion, and a cruel messenger will be sent against him. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, for rebellion is like a sin of divination. Sometimes there's rebellion in us. There's rebellion in us. And sometimes the Lord has to do things, and things happen in our lives so that we can get back and not be rebellious anymore. I'm always reminded of my wonderful grandmother. Every time we rebel, she fixed it really quick. She was not going to have it. If you didn't say good morning, she would send you back to the room. She said, I'm not going to have that. Now think about God. He's holy. He's the creator. He made you and me. He told our parents to put the name that we have today. Everything about us. And yet, we rebel against him. It's in our nature to rebel. Does God like it? No. Did our parents like rebellious children? Of course not. God doesn't want rebellious children. He wants children to obey. We want our children to obey. That's what we want. But there's also pride. Why don't we worship God in spirit, in truth? Because of our pride. Never forget where you're coming from. Don't let your material possessions dictate who you are. You know, Satan became prideful. That's why he was cast out of heaven. Ezekiel 28:17 says, your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you out to earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. Pride would not let us take the gospel forward. Because you see, the gospel is not about us, it's about God. What are they going to say if they see me talking to people? What are they going to say if they see me serving God? What are they going to say? You see, pride, you focus not on God, but you're focused on what people are going to say about you. Not about us. It's about worshiping the King. It's about the Lord being exalted. It's about the Lord being glorified. Not about us. It's about the Lord. But then there's also jealousy. Sometimes we focus and we're jealous of what other people have. Listen to what Exodus 20, 17 says. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. Oh, if I could just have that house, that would be wonderful. You should not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant or his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Maybe one day you drive around my neighborhood. There's two Nissan Sentras, same color, next to each other, in two houses. Whatever he has, I want. Today we don't have ox or donkeys. Maybe we do. Maybe some people do. But we got 150s. We got Rams. We got Mercedes-Benz. We're not to be jealous. James 3:16 says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambitions, there spread disorder in every evil practice." We are not to be jealous. We need to thank the Lord when God blesses our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we see a new car parked in our parking lot, we should say, "Thank the Lord, God has blessed him." I knew of a person who saw one of those trucks and over there started shaking it and said, "Lord, bless me like this as well." Thank God the alarm didn't go on. God has us. He knows what he's going to give us. Sometimes we strive because of jealousy. It's nothing to do with worshiping God, but rather it prevents us from worshiping the King. And there's the word hate, strong word, but yet it's in Scripture. 1 John 4:20 says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." We are not here to show preference. We are here to love the God, to love God and to love our neighbor. We are here to reach this community and share the gospel. We are here to take on the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't come for a race. He gave his life on the cross for the sinner, regardless of the race of color of skin. That's what Jesus did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The heart of worship is about a lifestyle. It's about honoring God. It's about exalting the King. It's about guarding our hearts. It's about examining our hearts. David said, search me, O God. Search my heart, O God. What's in your heart? Is it true worship? We can come back. Make it back. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As the praise team leads us, what's in your heart today? Maybe you're here today and you do not know God. It's not about coming to church. I'm asking, do you know the God who created you today? Does the Spirit of God live in you? Is He your Lord and Savior? Today is the day of salvation. It all begins with knowing God. You can know God today. As the praise team leads us, what's in your heart?
Stand and sing with us.
Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be in your house today, to worship you, to exalt you. Father, our hearts are thankful for you being good to us. Our hearts, Lord, are grateful for what you've done in our lives and for who you are. Father, we pray that you will remind us to worship you. Not on Sunday, every day that you give us. We give you all honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen.